In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The first Sunday in Lent is called Invocabit Sunday, which is Latin for to call upon. This tells us our disposition towards God, especially during the season of Lent. The season is a time when we call out to the Lord for help, for mercy, much like the blind beggar whose sight Jesus restored last week. For we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, being tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted in the wilderness by the evil one, protected by the scriptures he memorized. Jesus defeated the evil one. So to begin Lent, we hear why we must cry out to Jesus for help, because he is the victor. And he seeks to share his victory with sinful man, that we might be restored back to God. He endured Satan's temptation in the wilderness. Despite Jesus being emptied, hungry, and thirsty, he defeated the foe we can't take on even when we're at our strongest. Mankind has proved himself unable to survive the tests of temptation. We will always fall. Just look at Israel in the Old Testament. They were God's chosen nation. God had rescued them from slavery in Egypt by the waters of the Red Sea. He led them into the wilderness to make their journey to bring them to the Promised Land. But they remained in the wilderness for quite some time, 40 years. And why the long time? Because scripture tells us that God was testing them. And what was God looking for? He was looking for faith and righteousness. He wanted to see who they follow. Would they follow themselves, other gods, and their stomachs? Or would they follow the one true God, the one who had rescued them for freedom? Their tests came in the form of basic needs of survival. As you can imagine, there's not much food in the wilderness, which was a barren wasteland. So farming wasn't an option for food. Water wasn't plentiful, so there wasn't much to drink. So how did these people survive for 40 years in the wilderness? Well, they lived by the miraculous provisions of God. Moses threw a log into bitter water, but by doing that, God made the water good to drink. He even told Moses to hit a rock with his staff, and God made water come out of it. God made manna and quail come, more or less, out of thin air to put food into their bellies. They were commanded to go out each morning and gather only enough manna to eat that just that day, because God wanted to see if they trusted that he would provide more the next day. When the Lord tests you, he also provides. Never forget that. However, the Israelites did forget. Their own idols got in their way. Their stomachs were an idol. They grumbled against the food God had provided. They even had the audacity to cry out to go back to slavery in Egypt so that they could eat their food. Earlier in their wilderness journey, they made a golden calf to worship, because they were impatient to wait for the Lord. So you see, Israel had idols. They had failed their tests and temptations in the wilderness. And just as Satan had accomplished his work in the Garden of Eden by leading Adam and Eve away from the God who sought to be near to them, so had Satan accomplished his work with Israel. Satan successfully got them to follow their idols. So Israel had no hope. Thus, mankind had no hope. Not only in the wilderness did Israel fail God's tests and succumb to Satan's temptations, but also throughout the Old Testament. God was unhappy with his people's constant idolatry. Something needed to change. There needed to be at least one holy, spotless person that the entire nation could get behind and follow. Jesus is at one. He is the nation of Israel reduced to one person, for he mirrors their journey. After Jesus was baptized, he immediately went out into the wilderness to fast and to be tempted by the evil one. Since Israel failed their period of testing, Jesus must be tempted in their place, so that his life as a man might be offered up to his Father. Jesus went on the very same road that Israel did, yet he was obedient to his Father's word the whole way. This is why Jesus is the one in whom we take refuge and strength. He is the mighty fortress by which we're sheltered from the old evil foe. He is the one who washes us clean in his holy name through the waters of baptism. His body and his blood given from this altar strengthens our faith to take hold of the promises he gives. These promises of God that we carry with us through this life aren't insignificant. Rather, they guard and keep us with Christ throughout life's temptations and battles. The gospel text teaches us something about spiritual warfare. It's important to pay attention to how Satan came to Jesus to tempt him. He didn't come with fists curled, ready to throw a punch. He didn't come as an obvious enemy to Jesus. Rather, he came as a friend. He said, "Hey friend, you look hungry. How about you turn those stones into bread? Or hey buddy, you're powerful. You could have all the earthly power and glory you want. I mean, you want mankind to bow down to you, don't you? Why don't you just be their earthly king? Or, hey, aren't you God's son? Have you ever wondered if that were the case? Let's test it out. How about you jump off this high place and see if the angels catch you? How cool would that be?" If that's how Satan came to Jesus, how do you think Satan presents himself to you? Is it always obvious when Satan is at work? Does he come as the red two-horned guy with a pitchfork? Satan never presents himself as your enemy. He always comes looking to be your friend. He'll even feign kindness to get you to listen to him. He'll give you enough truth to engage in some sort of false doctrine or practice, but he won't ever give you the truth of God. He'll appeal to your emotions to get you to neglect important truths of God. He'll even use scripture to deceive you. He will do anything to lead you away from Christ. For example, as a pastor, I often hear people who wish to justify their sinful behavior say, "I deserve to be happy. So why should I deny myself? Doesn't God just want me to be happy?" That statement is a satanic lie. It's not true. God desires your heart more than your happiness. He desires a life of righteousness for you, not a life of sin that gives momentary dopamine hits that despair the soul. It seems like a comforting thought, but the Lord desires your righteousness in Christ, a gift he freely gives to you above all else. He does desire a form of happiness for us. The scriptures call it joy. But joy has that lasting sense of happiness, peace, and contentment that can endure trials and temptations, whereas happiness goes away as soon as you stub your toe. God gives this joy only when we're in Christ. So you see, Satan comes as a friend, but strikes as an enemy, because his goal is to lie to you about God. As Christians who are beginning the Lenten season, it's good for us to recognize the spiritual warfare happening all around us as the evil one seeks to lead us astray from God. However, Christians, take courage. We fight this battle knowing the war has been won. Jesus has conquered the old evil foe in the wilderness. He has conquered Satan on the cross, and he invites us to partake in his victories, that we might have his help in our battles too. He is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. So call out to him during this Lenten season Rely upon his promises, flee to his forgiving word and sacrament, and he will give his victory to you. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.